I'd like to speak about income tax evasion tonight. And what you'll see, this will give us without try your preconceived notions. And we'll learn the Gemara together. We'll talk about two specific cases. One is a typical income tax. You've got a W-2 form that says you have earned a certain amount of income and you decide not to report that. And the second case is you don't even have it. It's your own private business. You make money. No one knows about it. You know, you buy pillows and you resell them at a profit, and no one knows about that business. Is there any heter not to report that on income tax? Is there an obligation to report it? What are the rules? Let's learn the sugyas of tax evasion. The Mishnah in Bava Kamma, the same sugya we've been doing, talking about Talos Akum and Geneva Sakam, it's the same sugya there, Kufya Gimel Amid Alf. The Mishnah says like this, Ein Parton, Lami Tevas Amochsin. The Mishnah says you can't take change from coins of custom collectors. The Mishnah says also, Lo Mikish Al Gaboyin, not Gaboyim that collect taxes. They don't demand tzedakah. Yes, can't ask them for tzedakah because the assumption is that that money is stolen. Because what right does a tax collector have to take money from someone else? It's Geneva. So you will learn in future weeks that if someone steals, you're not allowed to take that stolen. It doesn't become laundered that now it's mutter for you to take that. They have stolen money. You have no right to take those coins that were stolen from the tax collectors. So if the Gemara has the obvious kasha right away, correct the Gemara, Mochsen. Do you consider the money that the custom collectors took to be stolen? There's a halacha called the law of the land. Dina de Machusa, the law of the kingdom. Dina is the law. And if they said that anyone bringing in pillows into the country has to pay a certain customs on those pillows, they have the right to do that. That's called Dina de Machusa. There's a concept called the law of the land, which we'll talk about more next week. Lee Nether will talk more about Dina de Machusa, how far it goes, but the Gemara certainly is saying that if they tell you that every time you bring in a pillow, you have to pay customs on it, and they collect that customs, why should you consider that money to be stolen? It's kosher money. They took it square, fair and square. They're allowed to. And therefore, you should be able to take change from there, take tzedakah from that money. It's not gezel. So the Gemara says, you have to say that we're talking about an unusual type of case. Amar Rav Chanina bar Kana, Amar Shmuel. Rav Chanina bar Kana said in the name of Shmuel, to answer mamash this kasha, b'mochesh ein lo kitzva, we're talking about a custom collector who is not, he doesn't have a fixed amount what he takes. He just takes whatever he can from people. So he's like a god. He takes whatever he can. Rashi says, "Shein lo kitzva elanot kachol chetzo." He takes whatever he wants. It's not. That's not a law. It's a law when there's a certain law in the books, and everyone who brings a pillow has to pay $2 per pillow, and he collects the $2 of every person. That's a law. That's money that he legally took, and therefore you could take it from him. It's not stolen. That's fine. But over here, someone went and abused the system and says, "Oh, this guy I can probably get more from, and I won't let him take those pillows until he gives $5 a pillow." So in that case, that's not Dino de Machusa anymore. Debe Rav Yane say we're talking, the Mishnah is talking about a Moche Salman Me'ila. We're talking about not a government worker who's collecting the government taxes. It's talking, he came Me'ila Shalom Me'isamelach. The king didn't appoint him, he just got up there. And he said, look, I'm going to make some business over here. Anyone that brings a pillow into this country, anyone that wants to cross this bridge, I'll charge, and I'll take the money for myself. So even though there he has a kitzvah, he charges everyone the same amount, right? He's honest about that. He says, you have to give me $1 every time you cross the bridge, or every pillow you have $2, and he's very consistent with what he charges. But in that case, he's not working for the king either. So these are two akintos. These are two ways of saying that it's not Dina de Machusa here. It's not the law of the land. Number one, the first teretz is because he's not following the law. He's just taking whatever he can get. And the second case is that he wasn't appointed by anyone. He's just on his own getting up there and making his checkpoints and collecting money that without the authority of the government. So that's not dino de malchusa. It's a simple halacha. But we see from this that if it was a normal tax collection, it was normal customs, it would be dina machusa dina, the money would not be considered stolen. Let's see the Gemara Vayter. The Gemara gives two other cases where these terusim were said in different contexts. Igre amasi la'aha, some teach it referring to the following Mishnah. Lo yubash adam kilayim, a person is not allowed to wear kilayim, shot in his clothes, wool and linen together. Afilo gabi asar v'gadim, even if it's on top of 10 other clothes where he's not getting so much benefit from it. La'avriach v'omeches, in order to evade the customs with it. Because the law is, you only have to pay customs for things you're bringing into the country to sell. But if you're wearing them, they don't charge customs on the clothes you're wearing. So you might be inclined to wear a lot of clothes, and that way you're wearing these clothes as you go through, and they won't charge customs on them. So can you wear a shot in his clothes in order to evade the customs, or do we say no, it's shatnez, why would you think you could? Maybe it's not called, you're not benefiting from the shatnez, you're only doing it to avoid the customs, not to, because you want to feel the warmth of the shatnez coat, especially you have 9 other coats on you. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to. The Gemara goes and says, Masisa look Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnah does not go like Rabbi Akiva. The Tani, because we learned in a Braisa also, Rabbi Yechasamechas, you're not allowed to wear Kilayim to obey customs. Rishim and Rishim Rabbi Akiva, Rishim said in the Rabbi Akiva, Mutter, Rabbi Yechasamechas, you're allowed to wear the Kilayim to obey the customs, you're not getting the benefit from the Kilayim, and it's Mutter. So the Gemara says, okay, Bishlam Levin Kilayim Baha Kamifligi, I understand that they could argue whether there's an Isra Kilayim here, there's an Isra wearing shatnez. The Mar Sabadav Shem is Kavan Mutter, Rabbi Yekiva holds, since you're not intending to have the benefit or the warmth of the Begad, it's permitted to put that clothes on you. That's not wearing shatnez. And Mar Sabadav Shem is Kavan also, and the Tana Kam, or the Tana of the first Braisa holds that it's Darvish Yemes Kavan is also, even though you don't have Kavan, you don't have the intent to benefit from the warmth of that baguette, but you're still wearing shanis and azasi. So we understand. But El Havir Bohasam Mechas Mishari, but how can they avoid it, the whole issue of whether it's permitted to evade the customs? They're only talking about arguing whether you could wear this shatnez thing. Is it a problem of shatnez? Either maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But why aren't they worried about Tchosh and Mishpat? Why aren't they worried about the fact that you're stealing from the government? Because Amar Shmuel Dina Machusa Dina. The law of the land is the law of the land is the law. And if the law is that you have to pay customs on every thing that you bring in that's not for your personal use, what right do you have to evade the customs by wearing it, even if it wasn't shot? So the Gemara says the same to Terusim. Amar Rav Chanina Bar Kana Amar Shmuel B'mochashen Lo Kitzva. We could be talking about custom collectors not following the law. He's just collecting whatever he can from people. And Rav Yana Yamre, and Rav Yana's Yeshiva, they said B'mochashen Amar Me'elov. That Mish is talking about a collector who didn't have the authority of the king, and he therefore there's no dinu machusa. In other words, in the first terrace there's no dinu, and the second terrace there's no machusa. There's no, either no din being followed here, or there's no machlus. He just got up himself and was a self-appointed predator on people walking in to try to get money from them. The Gemara has a third case like this. Bikin Amasin Yaha. Some have it on this case. It's a Mishnah Nedarim. Nodrim Laharogin Laharamim Lamochsin. If someone is wants to, he's a murderer or a plunderer or a custom collector, and they want to take some produce that you have, and you want to prevent them from taking that produce, so you say it's truma. You can't use it anyway, even though they were willing to murder, but they wouldn't be devil. So you tell them that it's truma. And they say approve it. So you say they'll make a shvua. So you're allowed to make a nether that this truma, this produce is truma, or it's not yours, it belongs to the court, you'll get in trouble if you take it. Even though it's not true, and even though it's not belong, it doesn't really belong to the king, you can make a shvuah. Well, it's a whole sugya why you can lie. The Gemara talks about a vayter, but that's not our issue right now. Our issue is the Gemara asks, okay, I understand by the murderer and the plunderer, you can try to get out of it. But ulamochsin, when we're talking about a custom collector, how can you try to avoid, once again, how can you try to evade the customs? Bahamar Shmuel, Dina Ramachusa Dina. So Gemara has the same two Terusim. Amar Achanina Rakana Amar Shmuel. We're talking about Mochesh and Lokitzva. He's a customs collector who's not following the law. He just takes whatever he wants. Rav Yani Yeshiva, they said, he didn't have authority from the king. He just got up himself and did it. And here we have a third teretz, Rav Ashi Amar, the Moches Knani. We're talking about a Moches who is a Knani. We're talking about a custom collector who's a Knani. And the assumption is, the way Rashi learns, you'll see the way the Rambam learns, he's taking more than he's supposed to take. He's taking more than he's supposed to take. And therefore, once again, it's not a dinah anymore. He's taking more than he should. And based on what we just learned, it definitely seems a clear psak of the Gemara, the sugya, saying that there's dinah the malchus adina, and therefore you're not allowed to evade the taxes, like the Gemara asked, unless it's either not, it's without authorization of the king, or it's not following the laws, and illegal enterprise that the government is doing. So in that case, there would be no, it's not a dino de machusa, that wouldn't apply. This is paskin by the Shulchan Aruch, and I'm following the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch Nechus Gzeila Simen Shin Samach Tesiv Vav says like this. He talks about the Gemara and says that he quotes the Gemara that said you can't take the money from a tax collector because it's considered stolen. And on that he says, when do we consider a tax collector to be like a robber who we assume everything he has is stolen? That's where he's an akum. Or he just became a collector on his own without any authority. Or even if he's from the authority of the king, there's no limit. He takes whatever he wants, and he's not following the din. In that case, the money by him is considered stolen. But if the king paskin that the tax collector should take a certain set amount, and it happened to be that he appointed a Jew to be the collector for the king, and we know he's trustworthy, he doesn't add anything more than the king decreed, he just follows exactly what the king wants, he's not considered a ganav, because that's the law of the land. And whatever he takes is proper to take, and the post command, and Mele it's mutter to be such in such a position to be an auditor for the king. If someone tries to evade this tax over Alo Sigzal Lirmaputin, he violates Lo Sigzal, then they should who goes on Asa Melech, because he's stealing the portion of the king, then shall Yamelech Yisrael, then shall Yamelech Akum, whether he's a Jewish king or Akum king, either way, Dina Malchus Adina, and if a Jew is working for that king collecting the taxes, number one, what he's doing isn't considered Gezel, and number two, to avoid him, to evade him, would be considered Isser Daraisa of Lo Sigzal. Avo, Imkono Akum, but suppose another Akum bought the rights from the king. They said, look, king, you're making $10 billion a year in your income tax collections. I'll give you, and you have all the different sorrows, I'll give you $10 billion, I'll give you $11 billion, but let me take it over. Make it a private enterprise, like the New Jersey Turnpike. Imkono akum, then it's mutter to evade it. Mishum dahavi kahavkos hava aso, the shari. It'll be like havkos hava, b'malkum deveka chilul Hashem, where there's no chilul Hashem. Because let's think about this. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch are paskening that let's look at the normal case before, not the case where he sold it. The normal case where the king is still in charge. The king is collecting it for his own, he has someone collecting for him, and someone who's fair, we don't have to assume that he's cheating. So in that case, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam say, Dina Machus Adina, based on the Gemara, and the money they collect is not stolen, and you're not allowed to evade it, because evading it would be lo sigzal. You're not following the din of Malchusa. Now the Ketzer Mishnah, everyone is a kasha on this halacha, and this is really the crux of the matter over here. Let's agree that dinah malchusa dinah, and malacha is that when the king says you have to pay an income tax, you have to pay a value added tax, you have to pay a sales tax, they have the right to do that, and someone who collects it is not considered gezel, and therefore you owe him that money. But we learned in the last few weeks that there's different halachas that apply when we're talking about an akum. Right? There is gezel akum, when an akum owns money. You're certainly not allowed to go and into his house or into pick his pocket and take money from him. That's gezel akum. It's also like stealing from a Yisrael. Maybe it's a different source, but according to Moses and Isidore, to steal something belonging to an akum that he already has. But then we learned the halacha called hafkaas halva also, and the case we learned there was where someone owned an akum money, and that akum died and left heirs. They didn't know anything about that loan. So there was seems a mashmas from the Gemara that if there's no chilul Hashem and no one knows about it, there'll be no problem. There's no iser in not paying it. We saw from Rav Shimon that he really does own the money, but the iser of not paying a loan in time and not withholding wages, that doesn't apply when no one knows about it regarding an akum. That's a drasha that we have. That's by Avkaz Havas. We said it rarely applies because there's going to be Chil Hashem, or if there's Kiddush Hashem, then there's a mitzvah to do Kiddush Hashem. But there is this halacha called Havkaz Havas, which we saw in the Shulchan Aruch just mentioned. Then we learned there's a halacha called Ta'oz Akum, that if an akum makes a mistake on his own and he sends you something that you don't really deserve and you didn't do anything to cause that, so according to the Ramah says Tos Akum is mutter, once again when there's no Chilul Hashem, and once again when there's no opportunity of Kiddush Hashem, right? if there's a Chilul Hashem by it, he might be testing you, so then it's Mamish Aser. It's Aser maybe even the right of not to cause the Chilul Hashem. But even when there's no Chilul Hashem, we said it came in the mail, so there's no one's ever going to know that you've got something extra. But if you can make a Kiddush Hashem by returning it, there's certainly a mitzvah to make the Kiddush Hashem. We learned from the Yerushalmi, from Mishum Ben Shetach, brought in by the Shulchan Aruch, that there's a mitzvah to do a Kiddush Hashem. But like those we saw about Shavas Aveda, and we so broke out the Bir Agola, that people never profited greatly from keeping mistakes when they could have made a Kiddush Hashem. So that was Talat Akum is B'ikr Mutter, unless there is a Chil Hashem or a possibility of Kiddush Hashem. Then last week we learned about tricking an Akum, and that we learned Talat Akum, we said the Ramah brought both shitas, but the poskim, most poskim, poskim like the Ramah's second shita, that to trick an akum into giving you something extra, like misleading him, all the different cases you spoke about, saying the child's younger than he is, and saying that you're older than you are when you're, you know, getting insurance or putting the car in someone else's name, all these different things are causing him to give you money when you don't deserve it. You cause him to give it to you. That's hatoas akum. So that, we said, is aser, according to most poskim, and that's what we concluded last week. So now let's think about the taxes over here. We're seeing on Niyach, it's true that Din L'Machus Adino is that just like if I borrow money from an Akum, so now I have to pay him back, or if he worked for me, I have an obligation to pay his wages, and that you certainly have to do. It could be Chil Hashem not to, or it could be even Dereisa in a case where he knows about the wages. Right, so that's true. I have this obligation, and so it's the same thing. I have an obligation to pay the Akum government money based on this Din of Mechusa. They said everyone in the country has to pay these taxes, and I have that obligation to do so. Now, if I don't pay the taxes, which of those four categories was I in? Was I in the category of stealing money from the Akum? Was I in the category of Hafkaz Hava also, where no one knew about it and there's no Chilul Hashem, where we said there's a possibility of it being Mutter when there's no possibility of Kiddush Hashem? Was it a Ta'os Akum that they made a mistake on their own? Certainly not. Or is it Hatoya Akum? Am I tricking him to give me something that I don't deserve? So which of the four categories is it? The Kesef Mishnah says, obviously, the Chora he says at least, and asking on the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, it's Hakaz Hava also. I owe him money. It's no difference if he worked for me or he lent me money. I have my money, it's Beheter. I bought these pillows, Beheter. Now there's a law that I have to pay him. I owe him an obligation to pay him money. So on that, the Kesef Mishnah asks, Kevin da Habrachim and Ameches, since escape, evading the taxes is, it's not, I'm not stealing, I'm not taking something that he owns, and I'm not tricking him to give me something that I don't deserve. What I'm doing is, I'm avoiding paying what I am supposed to pay. So, since we're saying it's only Hafkaz Hava also, Amai Aser Laviach Min HaMeches B'Mel Goy. Why should it be Aser to obey taxes if it's a Akum government? Right? That's his Kasha. Right? He's not asking the Kasha. He's not saying you should. We'll see why. He's just asking the Kasha. How can the Rambam Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara, say that there's an Iser of evading the taxes? Especially says, if you go through the Gemara to the end, it's mashma a little bit that this case was only, there's a chilik, like Rava said, we learned it between Hafkaz Hava also going on this case, if you go through the whole sugi of the way our gear says. So the Kesef Mishnah says, this is why it's aser. Shema Yesh Lomar, Tohacha Shaini. Here it's different. Shehemi HaMelech Yisrael Lingvas Bochalko. Here, when the king appointed a Jew to collect his portion, the federal funds, Davi Kila Melech Atma Govo, it's like the king himself is collecting it. Not only will it be a chilul Hashem if it's known that the Jews don't pay their taxes, actually, they could end up starting killing Jews if they're not paying their taxes. So it's in that case where the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch say you're not allowed to avoid the taxes. Truth is, meekr than you could, except it's a chilul Hashem or sakonis nefashis, that's why you can't. But in the last case, the case where an Akum purchased the rights to collect the taxes from the king, Avim Kono, Akum Mutter, if an Akum purchased those rights, it's Mutter to avoid them. But if the Akum rented, he purchased the rights for the taxes from the king, there's not going to be any, the king's not going to start killing people for avoiding paying the taxes. He's not losing, he's getting his income no matter what. It's the secondary person who is willing to take the chance and collect them. So in that case, also, which is what he passes in the Shulchan Aruch, which we just read, if the Akum bought it, so then it's mutter. You shouldn't have a kavkaz hava also. That's the Kesef Mishnah's pshat in the Rambam, which is what he passes in the Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah of Malach asks that that's certainly not mashna that way. The Rambam seems to say that the Isser is lo sivzal, you're stealing. Not that don't avoid taxes because you might get killed. The Rambam said, don't do it because it's Minesh who goes ill Minas HaMelech. You're stealing the portion of the king. It's not because you're going to get killed. So therefore, the Mishnah says a different shot. He says that if the king still has rights to the taxes, and Rosh Shlomo Zalman says this is the Ikrip shot in the Shulchan Aruch in the Rambam, he says that the way Rosh Shlomo Zalman explains it, the king owns all the money in the country. The king owns the taxes at least. The king owns them, it's his country, he owns the taxes, and if you withhold the taxes, it's not Hafkaz Hava also. What it is you're stealing what belongs to the king, because the king owns those taxes already. And if you don't pay them, you're taking money from the king. It's not Hafkaz Hava also, but it's Mamish Gezel Akum. That's the way the Mishnah Melech understands the Rambam, the way Shlomo Zalman explains it. The Chut HaMeshulash, Chaim Volozhiner says that's also not mashmid so much in the Rambam. The Rambam says lo sigzol, not that It's the Mishnah says that's dinu de malchuso goes that far. He says another pshat. He says that if we're talking about a certain merchandise, so it's like the king owns that merchandise, and you only can have the right to it if you pay the taxes. If you take it without paying the taxes, it's like you stole from the king. That's also like stealing. That's the way he understands it, and that's also not so much. But Darav Shai says like this to say pshat. In the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, he says, "Kol zman shelo konoho acher, as long as the money is still going directly to the king, umagia lamelach, choshev hamelach muchzuk, the king's considered muchzuk in the money that belongs to him. Ba'mavriach gozel ma'otzer hamelach, if someone tries to evade the taxes, he's stealing from the king's treasure house. The lekel le'nemar kos hava also, you can't say it's a evading, it's a canceling a loan. You're taking from the king." Hafkas Hava is where you already have money and you don't pay it. But to steal from someone is aser. So that's the case if the king himself owns it. But if someone else bought the rights to the taxes from the king, which the case in the New Jersey Turnpike, then Havi Commission is that's like they made a deal with the king. They're only dealing with each other. It's no longer a dino de machusa anymore. The king doesn't own. It's not some encompassing eminent domain that the king has rights to that money wherever it is. And in that case, the Aruch Shai says that's why the Shulchan Aruch says it's mutter. It's considered hafkas hava if it was given to a third party. Once again, if it's okay, dino chilul Hashem, hafkas hava is only okay when no one knows about it. So the Aruch Shai is similar to the Mishnah Lech. Maybe he's even going with that mahalach a little bit. But that's the pshat. When we're saying, when the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam paskins that you're not allowed to evade taxes because dinah mechusa dinah, we have to know that there's two steps to that. Dinah mechusa dinah gives the king the right to make it a real obligation. Okay, there's a real obligation here. His laws make sense. His law, whether they make sense or not, his laws have validity in halacha. We'll see why next week. We'll talk about the sources of dinah mechusa. But the Gemara is certainly saying his laws have validity. Now, I owe him money. Why am I obligated to pay that money? Why don't we consider hafkas hava also? Because the Mishnah says, you're right, it's considered really canceling on, except there's chilul Hashem and sakanas nefashas if you do it, and that's why you shouldn't evade the taxes. The Mishnah Malach said that it's like the king's here, it's like he almost has the money already. The Aruch Shai says that's pshat, that the king owns the taxes wherever they are. It's like he already has them. Dinah Machusa gives him not only the right to obligate us to pay him, but it also gives him the money already. It's like he has the money. We are in his control. We'll see next week, even by democracy it's true. There's a Dinah Machusa there that we're in his control, and it's like he has that money already. To take that money would be considered gezel. That's the Shulchan Aruch's psak. It's not over yet because there's the Ramah. The Ramah says, Yesh Amrim, Dafilu Hamochos Yisrael, even if it's a Mochos Yisrael, meaning we know he's being honest and he's honestly following the laws of the king, he's not taking extra. Imlo Konala Atmo, Ragov Lamelech, it's not his own personal profit now. The Yisrael, the Jew, didn't buy the rights to it, he didn't buy the New Jersey Turnpike tolls. He is just doing it for the king, he's a collector for the king. So even though Dina Machusa gives an iser to evade it, Mikomakam im Adam Avriach, nevertheless, if someone does want to evade it, that collector is not allowed to force him. Retain Davi Kavkos Hava also the Shari. The Ramah says it is like Kavkos Hava. But if this, he's worried that the king's going to find out, there'll be chilul Hashem, there'll be danger. So in that case, he certainly can force him. So the Ramah is saying that it is hafkas hava also, even though it's asur to do, which we'll see. Everyone asks, they're shy. They ask, well, if it's asur to do, why can you? But the Ramah is saying, even though it's asur to evade it, but if you want to evade it, so then it's okay as long as there's no as long as no chilul Hashem or danger. Where does that come from? Most mafarshim say it comes from the Ran in Adarim, which was the third case we had of making a neder to say that your produce is truma, so the moche, so that the tax collector won't take it from you. So the Ran says there, Eino Rishal Yisrael Chaveiro Lishava Shein Truma. Yisrael can't swear that the produce is truma. The lok the leka onsa kimin the dinam alchus adina, because dinda is dinam alchus adina. So he's not considered an anos. He's not doing anything illegal. He has to pay. Miu ein zeh mamuna rishay lachriach isal chaveira lefroelo. But this appointee, who happens to be a Jew in this case, isn't allowed to force his fellow Jew to pay it. Unless there is some fear, then he did in a machus adina. Even though there is in a machus adina that he's certainly obligated to pay, lo yei el havo also. But it should be no better than a loan. And how come the parakah goes? Of course, havo also muteros. We hold that it's muter to cancel a loan in a case where there's no chilul Hashem. So the Rama is going with the Ran. That's the way most understand it. But the Gaon asks, the Bir HaGrov there says the Ran. What's the Ran saying? The Ran says, all the Ran says, Ein Rishoy Yisrael Chavei Lishava. All he says, you're not allowed to make a shvua. You can't swear their truma when it's not true. But the Gaon says, you don't see anywhere in the words of the Ran that it's usher to do it. If you can avoid, if you don't have to make a shvua, and you just want to not pay, he says, if there's no chilul Hashem and there's no kiddush Hashem, so there he's not making any issur involved. So he doesn't understand what the Rama is saying, that even though it's usher to evade it, but still if they do it, you can't stop him. So on that, the Erech Shai gives a pshat in the Rama now. The Erech Shai first asks, what's the Rama mean? If it's usher, why can't you force him not to avoid an issur? So Erech Shai says that the issur to avoid to evade the tax according to the Rama is limited to a very specific case. And he gives an example. There's a case that there's a tax. If you cross the bridge, you have to pay the toll before you cross the bridge. So in that case, you can't say it's hafkalas halva also. I'm evading. I'm just not paying, canceling the loan if I choose to cross the bridge without paying. That's like we learned last week. That's called hatoyas akum, or maybe the gezel akum. I'm using this bridge. The bridge belongs to the king, and he says I shouldn't use it unless I pay. If I use the bridge without paying, so I'm stealing from him, or I'm tricking him somehow. I'm saying I'm younger than I am to get a free pass across. That's where it's aser lavriach. It's aser to evade a tax that's in the future. But suppose you already crossed the bridge. Suppose the toll booth is after the bridge, not before the bridge. So you already passed the bridge. Now for passing the bridge, you owe him money. Right? That I said, whoever passes the bridge has to pay a certain amount of money. So you owe him money. But that money you owe him, you're not stealing from him at this point. Well, you went over the bridge. Like you're allowed to go over the bridge. Now you have to pay him. So you owe him money. So it's like if he lent you money. If no one else would know about it, if there wouldn't be a chilul Hashem, there's a halacha kolos halva. So here also, if there'd be no chilul Hashem involved, once you cross the bridge, or it's something that you owe him money after the thing's already done, so in that case, that's where the Rama is saying there's a kolos halva. So the Rama is saying, even though it's asil avriach in that particular case, so in that case, you can't force him to pay because of kolos halva also. But the Rama will hold that in most cases, like the Ran says, there is a heter called hafkaz hava, and therefore, once it's already done, and now you owe money, as long as there's no chilul Hashem involved, as long as there's no kiddush Hashem involved, it would be okay according to the Rama. So we have until now, is we have a machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama, whether it's mutter to evade taxes. The Shulchan Aruch says definitely not. Why not? Because it could be sakanas defashas, the way the Kesemish himself said, or the Shai says because the king, not only did machusa mean that I have to pay, but it means that the king already owns the money, and for me to take it is called gezel akum. It's like I'm stealing from him, and that's an issur d'oraisa, the way the lashon is alo sigzol. He'll be over alo sigzol. That's the way Shulchan Aruch holds. The Rama holds like the Ran, the way we ask, that, okay, dinam achus adinam gives me an obligation to pay, but that's no different than any obligation that I have to pay to, for a loan and for wages that I owe. If there's a way to get out of hafkalas halavah, that would be mutter. So that's the way the Ramah holds. What's the halacha when you have a chokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah? Well, Shulchan Aruch, Rav says that Yerush Shemayim should be machmir, like the Svar Rishona, Shalom Lavar, Lo Sasash Vatar. This could be an Isidur Raisi here. And he says he should be machmir not to evade the taxes, because he could be an Isidur Raisa. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch Rav is machmir, Ramosha has tshuvas, several places that he's machmir, Sheva Levi has tshuvas, he's machmir, and it seems that most contemporary post-Gemara machmir, like the Shulchan Aruch, it's not even clear if that's the right shot in the Ramah. Is the Ramah really arguing? The Ramah does say the words, it's also la'avriach, that Rav Shai said it's only a limited case, that was his pshat, but it seems like the Pash Pashan of Ramah, Ramah said it's also to evade. He just said, we can't force someone to comply with the law, but even the Ramah's lashon was also la'avriach, except for that pshat we had from the Rav Shai. So we're left with this, Chumrah, it would seem that it's proper to be machmer to pay the taxes. Now, I wanted to be mosif that, let's talk about the two cases we talked about. If it's something reported, W-2 forms, then you don't hand them in. That's definitely going to be a chilul Hashem. You know, they have the records, and you don't do it, and why didn't you report it? That's certainly going to be a chilul Hashem. According to everyone, that'll be awesome. But suppose it's some private business you have that no one will ever know about, and you made a little money here and there, and it's so that's mamish like the case of a loan where there was a yoresh and no one knows about it because the malva died, and there's a halachah hakas havo when there's no din of chilul Hashem in that case. So that's what you could say, except we're just reviewing what the shir, because that's what we would have said, but the Shulchan Aruch nevertheless passes that it's aser, the way the Rav Shai explains, because the din of the Malchusa goes further than that, and that makes it that the king already owns it, and it's not like you just borrowed money from a private individual and now he died and no one knows about it, so there's no other obligation to the fact that you own it and no one knows about it, so there's a hafkalas halavah. But over here, when you're talking about money owed to the government and the government has a din al-machusa, so din al-machusa has that second level of making it like it's money belonging to the king already, and to withhold that would be gazel. But then I was thinking, I didn't see anyone say this, but it probably goes further than that. Most of us, if we have a W-2, when you have a you get money withheld from your wages, and what you do when you're filing taxes, you're asking for a refund. So here it could be an issue of a hataya sakum, because they have the money now. The money that you earned through your tax from your W-2s, and it might be a little bit extra now. But you still owe them extra money because you had your private business, which they have a right to charge you tax for, because that's the law of the land, that there's taxes for your private money. So if you want to not put that information in, so that's like withholding information when you, from the insurance we spoke about last week, or in the other cases where you put wrong information to get money from an akum. So here you're putting in, you're not putting in the full information, and through that you're causing them to send you a check. That could be not only that takes us above the level of cause of off by doing these evasions, it's going to cause them to send money to you, so that could be where you're causing them to send you money. The only svar there, which I'm not sure, is if you look at each thing as a separate thing. Here I owe him money, he owes me money for that thing, and now I owe money for somewhere else, so this one I'll get my money back, and that's separate. But I don't know how the law of the land looks at it as one package deal, I owe them all this money, or they look at each business of mine as a separate chetza, and therefore this one he owes me money, on this one I can have kaz havah, but I'm not sure. But anyway, we have the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch Rav Moshe, who says that we have to be machmir, like the Shulchan Aruch, not to evade taxes, either like the Kesem Mishnah says, because of the Chil Hashem and the Sapkon that's involved, which certainly we know from reading the papers that there is plenty Chil Hashem involved when people do that. or the way that Shai says it's mamish gezel, because the din of machusa makes him own the money already. So that's certain enough to be concerned about. Just at the end, I have on the bottom here, there's loopholes. The Pitzchei Choshen point brings out from the Rivash and the Marashdam, the cases where the Rivash's case was that anyone having certain deposits from other people in their country, they get sent if they're holding money belonging to other people, they have to pay customs. So can you say it's yours when you're really holding for the other person? So the Rivash said, look, you can't lie, and you can't say it's yours when it belongs to the other person. But have the other person give it to you for a certain amount of time, and then you give it back to them later. That way you're not lying. It really belongs to you. And if it will get lost, you wouldn't have to pay him anything. It's because it's a matana now. And later you'll give it back to him. The Rivash says you could do that. The Marashdam brings this Rivash for a similar case. There was a case, Reuven lived in Saloniki, and he had a partner, Shimon, in Constantinina, in Constantinople. And in Saloniki, they wouldn't tax the residents for their merchandise, but they would tax foreigners. So here is a partnership, Reuven owned half and Shimon owned half. So they wanted to tax Shimon's half of the schora, of the merchandise that they had in Saloniki. So Reuven had a shiloh, can I have Shimon arrange that I will own the whole merchandise, I'll make the whole purchase, and I own the whole thing until I leave town, and then we'll divide it. And he said there also, you can use this as a loophole. You can use this loophole to avoid the taxes, because what you're doing is legal. You own it now, and later you'll give it over to him. And someone asked me that they have a credit card with 0% interest on the condition that you make two purchases a month. So they allowed to go to the gas station and buy 5 cents of gas today, and then 5 cents of gas next week, and they made two purchases. And that way they should get their 0% interest and only have to pay the 19% interest or the 10 cents. So to me it sounds like it's okay, because they said that you make two purchases. They didn't say how long, they didn't make any minimum of the purchases. They could have said it's minimum $20 purchase. They didn't. And you found a way to make a 5 cent purchase, so you're making two purchases. So Pesach Choshen says if there's any legal way to find a loophole, and you'll get a good accountant that can find all your loopholes, there's certainly nothing wrong with that, even if it's like a halachic loophole. You're saying that I'll give it to you and you'll give it back to me later. That's something that's permitted. And I'm just like that, one last thing, there's no mar, we can go a couple minutes later, we started later also. So one last thing is that I don't think when reporting the taxes it has to be all the chumras, like, you know, Yashan and Pasi Soil and all the chumras we do. Like, you know, so you're not mechuyev to find all the different chumras there are, and is this taxable, is that taxable? We could be living like normal. Like, if the vice president forgot to report something because he forgot to give the withhold for his name because he didn't know there was such a law, we don't have to know more than the vice president of the United States or these other people that, you know, I don't think there's a chiyuv to be more knowledgeable than CPA about tax laws. And, you know, if we do things that are normal and it seems like it's legal and we don't do anything illegal, just to go look for every chumrah like we would do in other areas of halacha, I don't think that applies. I think we're allowed to live normally like most people of this country do, and I'm saying we don't have to go in halacha. We do go find every single halacha and try to improve and find different ways. I don't think that applies in trying to find every new restriction in the tax code that no one knows about and say, oh, maybe, you know, when my son on my lawn for me, so it could be according to this finding, I have to withhold the tax code, even though he did it for free, but I, you know, to go through a whole cheshbon to do that, I don't think there's any fee. I think, you know, we just do things legally and normally, act normally in a way that if they would ever audit us, we'll say, look, how are we supposed to know about this? No one knows about such a halacha. So there's no chil Hashem involved. I think that's a possible way to go. I ask a shiloh, like always, a shiloh on everything, and these are the makaras for this sukkah.